Blog Talk Radio.
Darn right it is.
I'm not the one who's so far away when I feel the snake bite and tear my veins. Never did I wanna be here again. And I don't remember why I came.
Why am I here? Oh, I know why. Because you like old-time radio? I like old-time radio. Good evening. Welcome to Eerie House Radio. I'm Dale Kay from Spook Show here along with...
You know, you're lucky I made it back. I just got back from New Orleans. I flew back and boy are my arms tired because I stopped off and did an interview with the Voodoo Queen. It's Dave Binkley from Weirdness Really Bad Movie and Spaceship One. And as they finish mastering that, we'll have that for later in the broadcast tonight. And we're here with...
Greetings and felicitations. It's CW recommending your minimum daily requirement of brains.
And tonight's story is not just a doll.
Are there such thing as vegetarian brains? I don't know.
Grains.
Broccoli brains.
When I was doing my cable show, I ran across this band, and they were like a band of zombies, a rock band, you know. They were pretty good. I forget what the heck their name was. Oh, it was called Zombie Crutch. And they had some pretty good clever songs with clever lyrics, and I had them come on as guests, and we did an interview with one of them, and I would ask him stuff like, what's your favorite mode of transportation? Trains. The other one, plane. What kind of underwear do you wear? Hanes. You know, just fun like that.
Very long interview, I would say.
We got a zombie doll story tonight, and dolls creep me out. They always have. And zombie dolls, especially, you know, I was thinking, and we didn't mention it last night, but I know you are going to like this one, CW, because it's got a great lead actress in all three parts of Trilogy of Terror. And I'm talking about the segment with the Zuni fetish doll.
Woo!
He was coming after Karen Black, the great Karen Black.
Yep.
I'm surprised someone doesn't do a toothpaste commercial with that doll.
Yep, really. He had a nice set of chops. Yeah. Welcome, Fogs Bane. Good old Bob's in and out of the chat room there. I hope you stick around, good old Bob, and it's not a connectivity issue. Ugga, ugga, boo, ugga, boo, boo, ugga to you, too. And hi, Fogsbane.
Hello, in the chat room.
The thing
was terrifying, Fogsbane. That Zuni fetish doll scared the crap out of me when I was a kid. And the funny thing is, looking back, it was kind of fake looking, but...
Still, it did the job.
It did do the job, and that movie also had Karen Black play two characters in one of the episodes.
Oh, okay.
Yep. And a teacher who gets kind of revenge on a student who becomes a little over-amorous. Yep. He gets his. But yep. We talked about a few zombie movies. Either of you have a favorite like zombie type movie? And I don't mean like the modern zombies of like Walking Dead variety, but I mean the classic Haiti voodoo zombies.
White Zombie is an interesting movie with
that's a
good one. Bela Lugosi.
And of course,
have a favorite?
The one where you had that pretty much started the avalanche. George Romero's Night of the Living Dead.
Yeah. It was more of a science zombie or a biology zombie. I was kind of referring more to like the zombie voodoo-inspired zombies.
Ah, okay. Well, it's kind of borderline. I mentioned it yesterday, The Serpent and the Rainbow.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of, yeah.
That's a good one.
I'm not fascinated by zombies. Mm-hmm. I do like, as Gar really was pushing last night, King of the Zombies and White Zombie. But I really like the Shadow episode, Island of the Living Dead. And so I would think that one might be closer to a favorite story. But as far as actually... zombiness. I'm just not really in and don't understand that and the Kolchak episode on TV was done really well. But so I'm more into, I guess, a couple stories than I am the movies.
Fair enough. King of the Zombies was great because of the comedic efforts of
Mantan Moreland. That may have been one of his best films. He did a lot of great work. But that may have been one of his best films.
Yeah, he played off his partner in some of the other lower budget films, I think, or they're just not as well remembered as this, and the horror hosts have a lot to do with that. But King of the Zombies is a fun ride. Very fun ride. I can watch that more than once.
Yeah.
Some public domain movies, not so much, but that one is worth a couple views. And our radio program tonight is worth a couple listens, but you're only getting one tonight from CBS Radio Mystery Theater. And I love this title, Toy Death.
Toy Death, yeah.
Toy Death.
Toy.
Yeah.
I think something like that. You think like virtual reality got him, but nope. This is before virtual reality.
Indeed. And we might as well get rolling along with this one because we do have Dave's interview with, Queen?
The Voodoo Queen herself. That's
you
right.
Mean Marie Laveau? All right.
Marie Laveau. I was able to snarf an interview with Marie Laveau.
Dave reaches out to the other side, but that'll be coming up a little later. Let's jump into our CBS Radio Mystery Theater presentation, and do we have an original broadcast date and episode number?
We do. This is episode number 1,224, and this is from July 22th of 1980 and 1.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Marshall. Today's mystery theater offering is called Toy Death. It involves a doll. Essentially, a doll is a figure in human form intended for a child, probably the oldest plaything in the world. But dolls are also found in catacombs, in graves dating thousands of years before Christ. They have meanings and powers almost opposite. In one country, a doll is a wedding gift. In another, it is very unlucky. Worshipped, feared, played with, a doll has been all things to all people.
Good Lord! Will you look at that?
It's a primitive doll. Ugly thing. I'd toss it into the fire if I were you.
I wouldn't, Mrs. Fowler.
Why not? Why wouldn't you burn it?
I wouldn't dare.
Mystery drama, Toy Story Death was adapted from a story by Algernon Blackwood, especially for the Mystery Theater, by James Agate, Jr., and stars Christopher Tabori and Patricia Elliott. I shall return shortly with Act One.
Weekdays on CBS Television. Don't miss your favorite daytime drama. Follow the continuing stories of families in conflict. Their lives changing every day. Full of turmoil, triumph, and treachery. On The Young and the Restless. Then, it's hearing stories of romantic intrigue and hidden desire. On As the World Turns. Be sure to watch The Young and the Restless. And As the World Turns. Weekdays on CBS Television.
If you can't hire a professional gardener to keep your yard in shape, depend on professional quality True Temper tools from True Value Hardware Stores. Hi, Pat Summerall to suggest you keep grass neatly trimmed with True Temper grass shears, featuring floating blade designed for super slicing action. And to keep shrubs and evergreens well-groomed, use the True Temper head shears with a serrated notched lower blade. You'll find them both at participating True Value Hardware Stores and Home Centers, where you'll find values in every department.
We make the children laugh with a TV show. We brighten lovers' eyes with lights so soft and low. We make you pretty.
Oh, so pretty.
We bring good things to life. We bring you closer to the ones you love.
We bring good things.
We bring good things to live in.
Every day.
We bring good things to life.
We bring good things to you.
India, where this account begins and ends, is a land of contradictions, extreme poverty, and untold wealth, deep spiritualism, and superstition. Monkeys and cows eat while people starve. Roads are impassable, yet trains are crowded. Not only for business, but those carrying the bones of a loved one to a sacred river. Contrasts incongruous, yet accepted. And in England, a young girl who has the mark of India on her cries out in fear-ridden sleep.
No. Don't. Don't. Please. You can't. Don't. Oh. Daddy. Daddy, where are you? Oh, 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 a nightmare. A nightmare again. Oh, that was the worst. Oh, how long am I going to keep having them?
Is it better?
So clear, so real. But it's not real. Never happened. I never saw it happen.
Isabella, are you all right?
Yes, Father. I'm all right, thank you.
I heard you from upstairs screaming.
It was only a nightmare.
Oh, goodness. Mind if I sit down a moment? No, better than that. Let me open the windows and let the smell of the garden come in. It's awfully warm in here. Oh, you really gave me quite a start.
I'll put my robe on and come sit by the window next to you.
Shall I turn up the gas mantle so we won't sit in the dark?
No. No, there's light enough from that little slice of moon and the stars. Oh, isn't it bright in the garden?
Yeah. Well, take the rocking chair, dear.
No. I'll sit on the floor.
All right. I might as well then. This rocker was always your mother's favorite chair.
I know, Father.
She made me bring it back here to England. I can see her now, rocking back and forth, making little doll's clothes in our garden in Calcutta. Remember? Right under the big banyan tree.
Can we please not talk about Mother?
Not?
Please, Father.
I've noticed that when you need me, when you're frightened, you call me Daddy as you used to when you were little. Otherwise, it's Father.
Well, which do you prefer?
What I really prefer is to know why you keep having these terrifying nightmares.
I don't know.
And they're certainly terrifying to me. When I hear you cry out like that, my heart literally stops, absolutely cold, as though I were dead for an instant.
I'm truly sorry, Father. I don't know why it happens. It's getting so that I'm almost afraid to go to bed at night.
I've asked you before, but what is it you dream? You must know that.
I can't tell you that. I just can't.
All right. Maybe someday you will.
Father?
Yes?
What did Mother die of?
I'm not exactly sure, and I don't think anyone else is. The doctors in India didn't know. That's why we brought her back here.
At night, in this room, sometimes I feel she's still alive and trying to tell me something.
I wish it were true. She loved you, Isabella. Well, now, we've had our little talk. You feel as though you could close your eyes? I know I do. Tony Parker is coming in at 9 tomorrow morning, ready to take dictation. I shall need sleep to have my wits about me.
Of course you do, Father. How are the memoirs coming?
Slowly, very slowly. Tony is helping me organize the material, and I've only just begun the actual writing. Oh, dear, I'm tired. I need sleep.
Well, you go upstairs and get it. If I can't settle down, I'll play with my dollies.
Oof, why can't you call it your doll collection? I wish you wouldn't use those childish words. You're a grown-up woman of 20. Well, I'm going. It certainly is bright here. It's like living in the garden.
That's what I love about it. Besides it having been Mother's room.
You think you can go back to bed now?
Yes, I'm all right. You go along upstairs and I'm sorry to have awakened you.
That's what I'm here for. Well, I'll see you in the morning, Isabella. Have a good night's rest, dear. What's left of it.
Sitting as you always did in your favorite rocking chair. I was sure you would come because of the new moon. It wasn't just a dream, was it? It did happen. What am I going to do now? There's no way to prove anything. If I said to anyone, did you know my father was the one who... If I said that to anyone, they'd have me put away, wouldn't they? Wouldn't they? Mother? Mother? What are we going to do about him?
How far did we get yesterday with the memoirs? Just a moment. Is that you, Mrs. Fowler?
Yes, Captain Trevelyan.
Well, don't stand there in the door of my study. Please come in.
Was there anything you'd like me to do?
Where is our morning tea, Mrs. Fowler? Parker's been here since 9 and no tea.
Oh, I'm just bringing it up, sir. We had a little problem downstairs that I didn't get to it.
What problem? Why wasn't I told?
Oh, we didn't wish to disturb you, sir.
Well, you have, so what was it?
This morning, shortly before 7, you know my room is right next to Miss Isabella's. I heard someone trying the French doors from the outside. So I opened my window and I shouted, go away, and this man Well, I couldn't really make him out. It just buzzed off.
Well, if you see this prowler again, call the police.
I shall.
Good enough. We'll tea then as soon as you can, Mrs. Fowler.
Yes.
Now, Tony, I've looked over what you wrote down yesterday, but I have a feeling there was something else I mentioned as you were going.
Just a paragraph. I took it home to type up, sir. Let's see, something about, yes, your first encounter with a cobra in Delhi. You said, there it was, a 6-foot-long cobra eyeing me as I walked in the door. I moved to the right, it moved to the right, I moved to the left.
Strike all that.
What?
Cross it out. Leave it out.
Oh, but that could be a very exciting and extraordinary part of your recollection, sir. I think you're making a big mistake, if I may say so. Mrs. Fowler?
Yes? Come in, Mr. Parker. The kitchen door's open. I'm just about to scramble up some eggs for everyone's lunch.
He's gone out.
The captain? Without eating?
Yes, someone called him on the phone, and the captain said he'd be over right away, which meant I was dismissed and won't be required until tomorrow. So I thought I'd come in and tell you.
Well, you're not going all the way back to Oxford on an empty stomach. Oh, there goes the bell. Someone's at the front door.
I'll get it, Mrs. Fowler.
All righty, Miss Isabella. Are you married, Mr. Parker?
No, I never have been.
I just wondered if you'd taken any notice of Miss Trevelyan.
Oh, I have, yes. Very attractive girl.
Woman. She's 20.
Really? Well, sometimes she acts rather... well, rather young, I'd say.
Well, only about her dollies.
Oh, please, please. I wince whenever I hear that word. If she had to say anything at all, I prefer just to say collection. It's a bit young, you know.
And how old are you?
31.
And never married?
Oh, too busy trying to earn my living as a writer.
Oh, so you write, too?
To afford it, I've become a stenographer for wealthy clients like Captain Trevelyan, to whom writing is a hobby.
So that's what you think of my father's memoirs. A hobby?
Oh, excuse me, Miss Trevelyan. I've told him as much.
What's in that little parcel you have there, dear?
The strangest thing happened just now. You know, when I went to answer the door, there was this tall, very handsome man. He looked just like the Sikhs one sees in the East Punjab.
Was he dark? Did he wear a turban?
Yes, he did.
That's the man. There's the man who's been hanging about this house since early morning.
And he said, is this the house of Captain Hugh Trevelyan? And I said, yes, it is. And then he handed me this parcel. Well, I looked at it. It has no name on it, who it was to or from or anything. And when I looked up, he'd gone. Vanished.
Well, I wonder what's in it.
I have no idea.
Well, why didn't you open it?
You don't think it's for my father?
I'd say you're as much part of the House of Trevelyan as your father is.
Now, here, the scissors. Come on now, give me that parcel.
But no, wait.
What's the matter?
I don't know. I just had the strangest sensation.
Tony, you too.
Did you, Isabella?
Yes, a kind of, well, emanation. I can't explain it exactly.
What is the matter with you two? Are we going to open the silly package, or aren't we?
In a moment. Can you describe that feeling, Tony?
Well, let's see if I can. Simply. You know, Isabella, the classical language of the Hindus is Sanskrit, and our word divine comes from a Sanskrit root meaning radiance.
Radiance. Yes. Yes, I felt that, too.
You see, it's nothing to be afraid of. It was rather pleasurable, wasn't it? I think we should go ahead and open it and see what's inside. Good Lord. Will you look at that?
Yes. It's a doll. A primitive doll.
Yes, but not a child's doll. More like a fetish with a wax face and a body of straw.
An ugly thing. I'd toss it into the fire if I were you.
No, I wouldn't do it.
I don't think it's ugly at all. It's beautiful.
How could anybody make a thing like that for a child to play with?
It's not a child's toy.
A doll like that would frighten the wee thing half to death. It's hideous.
How can you say that? I love it.
Well, what's it good for? If it were up to me, I'd do away with it.
I'd be very careful.
You wouldn't burn it.
I wouldn't dare.
Dolls have played a strange role in some religions. Certain ones are said to contain spirits which can influence human actions. However, isn't it possible that the sender of this odd gift simply knew that Isabella, as had her mother before her, collected dolls? And Tony, is he not perhaps finding something sinister in an object merely primitive? I shall return shortly with perhaps a few clues and a few answers in Act Two.
Luxurious top comfort plus deep inner support. You get both with every perfect sleeper. So remember, be a perfect sleeper. Be a perfect sleeper. Perfect sleeper. It's a healthy investment in yourself.
You've got a ticket on the Heartburn Express. And if one Rolaids tablet can't cut the mustard, you should hear this. Tums neutralizes one-third more acid than Rolaids. So when you eat more, feel more, and your stomach turns out one-third more acid, remember. Tums neutralizes one-third more acid than Rolaids. Every day, people face all sorts of tests. Driver's tests, tests at school, and every day, tests on life.
Oh, Mr. Cadwell, you're next.
Ah, oh, Mr. Cadwell, please take a seat.
Thanks.
Are you ready for your test on life?
I guess so.
Well, don't worry. It's only for practice. This time, that is. First question. If your son broke your favorite fishing rod, would you, A, be understanding, or B, yell at him?
Was it really my favorite fishing rod?
Oh, Mr. Cadwell. Would you stab someone in the back to get a promotion?
How big a promotion?
Come, Mr. Cadwell.
Yeah. I don't know.
Well, you can find the answers at your local house of worship. That's where you and your family can learn about handling the everyday problems we all face. Religion in American Life, Mr. Cadwell. We need it.
A message from Religion in American Life, the Ad Council, and this station.
Yeah. Well, thanks, and see you later.
You can count on it.
Yee, that's creepy. You can
count
on it. I'll be back.
You can count on it. Big Brother is watching.
He's creeping. And this story's creeping us out a little bit with this girl and her dollies.
No kidding. I mean, I don't know. Take Barbie, for example, the Barbie doll. First of all, Barbie lives better than most of us. Is that all we're drinking about? She had a place in Malibu.
She had a waist like Vampira.
She did.
She wasn't exactly anatomically correct in many ways.
Yeah.
Well, this is true. I mean, it is what it is.
That is true. Well, as the saying goes, you know, the song,
Jen had nothing to offer.
Yeah, we did that Barbie joke that where we I went in there and I wanted to buy a doll by you know what, so she suggested Barbie and she was giving off the different Barbies at $20, the you know the beachfront Barbie and this and that. Finally gets to the divorced Barbie and it's $200. And then she goes, so why is it $200? Well, with accessories it comes with. Right, what accessory do you have? Well, it comes with Ken's car and Ken's house and Ken's half a castle,
yeah.
Ken's retirement.
Don't forget Ken's 401k.
Yep. And yet there are people that go onto the internet. They try to become human Barbie dolls and they put them through that torture.
I've seen that.
And put themselves on Facebook like that. I'm thinking, why do you do that? It's for attention, I guess, you know?
Yeah.
Just because, I suppose. Ew.
Attention is fine, but if you have to, like, deform yourself in some way.
Not the easy way to do it, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Nope, we lost CW.
Uh-oh. Well, hopefully she'll be back. Did we offend?
I'm sure she will. No.
With me, I have to check.
I think she said, uh-oh.
Just to be sure. Yep. Just to be sure. Don't want to tick off the partners here, but...
No.
Yeah, we'll give her a few seconds to call back in, get hooked back up to our program.
You didn't say your favorite zombie movie, Dale.
Probably, again, just the Haitian zombies. I have other favorites in terms of more modern zombie. The either science, biology, or whatever created zombie. I would have to say I Walked with a Zombie is my favorite. It was very well shot, very well done. I like Val Lewton stuff. Not like a ton, but I like it. So yeah. Probably I Walked with a Zombie would be my favorite to date. There's probably a few older ones I haven't really paid close attention to that I have to look at.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any from the silent era.
The closest thing that comes from the silent era that I can think of is The Golem.
The Golem, yeah.
Yeah, well, that sort of is, yeah. Sort of, yeah.
I'm trying to... I'm rolling that around in my head. And now I'm just getting echoes, so. Doingy, doingy, doingy. Yes and no. I mean, that one has certain religious aspects to it, which, I don't know, makes me think less, but maybe not. I don't know.
Well,
is
the
voodoo based on a religion?
I guess it is.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
It is, so... There you go.
Yeah, I don't know. All right. Fair enough. The hell do I know?
Fogsbane chimes in, Dr. Calgary, ?
Oh, okay. That's a somnambulist? I mean, you could call that a zombie in a way. He's...
Yes, you could. That's a good one.
That's a very good point. Certainly a zombie-like character, if nothing else.
And there are many people who do consider the 1936 White Zombie the first quote-unquote zombie movie, but since we've come to the consensus that voodoo is based on a religion and the golem, well, the golem is a combination of sort of Frankenstein meets a zombie, because it was a synthetic...
I don't think the golem was a resurrected dead. He was made of clay. He was made from clay.
That's true.
Now, if there's other zombie aspects to it, I don't know. Could you call the Frankenstein monster a zombie? He's made from the dead. Technically.
But he was pieces and parts, so, you know, I don't know that.
But they were dead. The dead come to life.
Yeah.
And he did, in the end, if you're going by the book, he was almost an immortal creature. Of course, if you go by the movies, the only way there was the second movie for Frankenstein
was a fire.
I forgot who the mad
fire.
Fire hot.
No, yeah, he was terrified of fire.
Fire bad.
But
bad.
I think. Wasn't he terrified of fire because of Fritz? And
yes.
I don't mean the night owl. I mean Fritz, who tortured him with fire to try to keep him in line. You know.
Yes.
Fritz was pre-Igor.
Igor didn't show up till the third one, right? That was
correct.
Son of Frankenstein. Yeah.
With
yeah.
Basil.
Basil.
Yes. He will insist it's Basil.
Yes.
Yep.
We must speak the Queen's English now. It's Basil-rific.
Basil-rific. Yay, and we got a whole lot of radio left here, too, I think.
That we do. Let's move along to Toy Dust Part 2 from CBS Radio Mystery Theater.
No doubt you overheard remarks about morning tea, lighting the gas mantle, reference to the British rule of India, a clue certainly to the time of our tale, the early 1900s. However, a daughter who collects dolls and believes she communicates with her dead mother, a young writer working as a secretary, and a retired army officer trying to rewrite his past are as much the stuff of today's drama as yesterday's.
Tony, what is it? Why are you looking at me like that?
Oh, am I? Sorry.
Is it because I carry this new doll around with me? Is it?
I really don't know what you're talking about, Isabella.
Don't you? It's been 2 weeks now since that man in the turban delivered it to me, and every afternoon, after you finished Father's work, we've taken a walk to some different part of the countryside.
Isabella, don't think I'm not happy about that, because I am. Even today, when we're not exploring, just sitting here in the garden with you is nice. But you don't usually see an adult woman holding a kind of doll as if it were a baby.
And it bothers you?
No.
It wouldn't matter to me if it did. Of all my dollies, this is my favorite. Why did you say this was more like a fetish than a doll?
Oh, forget I said that. It's just some primitive piece, probably sent to your father as a remembrance of India.
I'm not so sure Father wants to remember everything about India.
You're not?
Well, you should know better than I. Has he started about my mother, how he met her and how they went together to India?
I was going to say that. We're well into India, but certainly 18 years back, but not a word about your mother or you.
I wonder why.
I put it down to being perhaps too painful, a sudden, inexplicable death.
Yeah. How do you know that?
Mrs. Fowler.
Isn't that strange? Rock-a-bye, baby. Johnny, I don't think there's anything bad about this dolly. It's just a little thing.
Yes. But didn't it strike you odd, the moment we were about to unwrap the parcel? I mean, you've been calling me Mr. Parker all along, so naturally I called you Miss Trevelyan. Then suddenly you said Tony, and I found myself saying to you Isabella, and it was the most natural thing in the world, as if we'd always known one another.
I never realized that. That's so.
Yes.
Are both your parents alive, Tony?
No, I was an orphan. I don't know who my parents were.
Would you say it's logical that I sometimes feel I can talk to my mother, even though she passed away 2 years ago?
You were very close.
Not close enough. Or it might never have happened.
Isabella?
Yes?
Try not to think about the past too much.
Sometimes I think so hard about my mother I can make myself believe she's right in my room.
Yes, well, it's not a good idea. Dwelling on the past can be sad-making.
I'm not. I feel happy now. I've got you to talk to, my dolly, and the whole collection in my room. Someday I'll show it to you.
Just let me add a few more thoughts before we end today's session, Tony. You ready?
My pencil's poised, Captain.
In all the years I spent in India, I always felt the spiritual influence of both the Bengali poet and mystic Tagore and that of Mahatma Gandhi. Well, I think that'll be it for today. By the way, I understand from Mrs. Fowler you've been seeing quite a bit of Isabella.
Oh, I wasn't keeping it a secret, sir. Isabella hasn't mentioned it to you herself?
No, she hasn't. We don't talk together as much as we should.
Because of her mother?
What do you know of her mother? What has she told you?
Oh, no, nothing at all. Except that she feels very close to her, even in death.
Yes. Well, when you've typed up what I've dictated since Monday, you may leave. I'm off to London on business. If it gets late, we have an extra room. It's yours. What's the time? Ah, good. I'll just make it to the station for the 2:00.
Captain Trevelyan, I'm sorry if I said anything about Isabella and her mother that was unwarranted. I'm very fond of your daughter. It was merely to let you know that I'm quite concerned about her.
Well, Tony, it's a good thing she does see something of you. Bring her out of her shell. It's not healthy for a young woman to spend so much time with a collection of dolls. But what can I do? Her mother was just like that.
Come in. Yes, Mrs. Fowler.
You've got to come now. There's something quite ghastly in Miss Isabella's room, and you have got to see it.
Is she all right?
So far as I know. Just follow me. Just across this landing, down these steps. There's a room. I don't know what to make of it. Where the door's open. That's her room.
Isabella.
She's not in there, Mr. Parker. She went out late this afternoon with that doll of hers.
Oh, yes, I know. It's distressing.
I want to show you something. Look there on the floor. What do you see?
Someone spilled drops of red ink from the door to the bottom of the bed. Is that what you mean?
And there's more on the other side.
Ah, yes, I see. From the bed of the French window.
I came into her room after she'd gone out to clean up a bit. I found these marks and I tried to wash them away. I tried vinegar, fine sand, chalk. Well, they simply won't come out.
Yes, ink is very hard to remove.
But it's not ink, Mr. Parker. Look closely. Those little spots are very dark and thick. It is blood.
Probably Isabella cut herself.
You don't believe that. Neither do I. Mr. Parker, could you do me a great favor?
Oh, of course, anything.
Captain Trevelyan won't be back from London until tomorrow. I could put you up in the spare room, which is just down the hall from Miss Isabella's. Could you spend the night here?
Oh, I'd be glad to.
You don't know what a relief that is. I have this awful presentiment of something evil. Mr. Parker, are you awake?
I am now.
Mr. Parker.
Coming.
What is it? You've got to come with me just down the hall. Hurry.
What's the time?
It just struck 3. I think I must be going mad.
All right, all set. You look at that lightning. I'm glad I'm not on the road tonight.
I saw it. I saw it with my own eyes.
Mrs. Fowler, now, can you show me what it is?
Yes, but we mustn't make a sound. I don't want to wake her. Just open the door and stand there and observe.
Open what door, Mrs. Fowler? Stand where? Observe what?
Miss Isabel's room. That ugly doll. It's alive! I awoke when the storm began, and I went around the house, as I always do, just to make sure the windows are shut. So I went into her room, and there it was. Mr. Parker, I swear to you by all that's holy, it was walking across the floor.
Not the doll.
Yes. I closed the door immediately and ran to fetch you.
All right now. What do you want me to do?
I'm going to open her door very quietly and have a look.
You're
quite sure this is no part of a bad dream of yours.
Oh, shh.
The room's pitch black. How could you have seen anything?
The lightning struck and lit up the whole room.
I can't make out a thing. It's going to be very embarrassing if she wakes up.
But I have to know. Your eyes will get accustomed to the dark in a minute. Now look there. Can you see her bed?
Yeah, dimly.
Do you see her hand? Do you see what's in it?
I think so.
It's the horrible
thing. Yes, let's go out. Come along. I don't want her to wake up and find us here. Now, Mrs. Fowler, I've looked into the room as you asked. I saw the doll, but it wasn't moving. It was lying in her hand just as I've seen her carrying it about for weeks. I really don't think there's anything to worry about. Good night.
Mrs. Fowler, from what you tell me, I don't see what the problem was last night.
Captain Trevelyan, you don't, because you didn't see what I saw.
I think you could use a week or two of holiday.
There's just too much going on in this household to suit me, Captain.
I am not that happy with her fondness for dolls at her age, but I have to make allowances. Her mother was very much like that, too, in some ways.
Miss Isabella believes she talks to her mother. That ought to be stopped. It's not healthy.
I know all about that also, and I agree. It's not healthy. I've tried to be subtle about it without alarming Isabella, but there you are. I'm hoping she'll get over it.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, it's too much.
Take 3 weeks off, Mrs. Fowler. It'll do you good. Paid vacation.
Captain, I know what I saw, and that's that. Now, it is too much of a responsibility, the goings-on in this house. It's too much to bear alone. As of today, sir, I am tendering my notice. I shall forego any severance that is due me, and instead of the customary 2 weeks, I am afraid 5 days is all I can put up with. I shall leave here, then. 5 days from this morning. I do feel sorry for you, Captain. But it is not I who have been struck by lightning. Believe me.
One can't really blame the good Mrs. Fowler. When the inconceivable is added to the incomprehensible, it's asking a great deal of anyone to be patient and forbearing, especially when you consider our story takes place in an era when superstition far outweighed science. I shall return shortly with Act 3.
Pardon me, you wouldn't happen to have a pair of glasses that needs polishing, would you?
A pair of glasses?
See, I suddenly have this urge for a cigarette.
I see. Well, what does polishing glasses have to do with your sudden urge for a cigarette?
Well, I do that instead of smoking.
You polish glasses?
Sometimes. Sometimes I take a shower.
Here, take the glasses.
Oh, thanks.
That replaces your craving for a cigarette, does it?
Well, that's one of the things.
Oh.
Like I said, sometimes I take a shower, sometimes I exercise, go for a walk.
Listen, where'd you learn all this anyway?
From the American Lung Association.
The American Lung Association?
They have this new program, see, called Freedom from Smoking.
Freedom from smoking.
Oh, she'd have kicked the habit in just 20 days.
20 days?
On your own.
Hey, that's great.
Yeah.
Well, tell me, do you find it's helped you?
Well, you don't see me smoking, do you?
No.
I mean, I really wanted a cigarette, but I didn't give in, did I?
No, you sure didn't.
Now, if I can just get rid of this urge to polish
glasses.
Yeah, right. Hey, you wouldn't happen to have another pair on you, would you? The sunglasses, swim goggles?
If you really want to kick the habit, but need help doing it, contact your local American Lung Association for information on their Freedom from Smoking program. As always, it's a matter of life and breath.
Lauren Green speaks to you for Medic Alert.
An accident or sudden illness might seriously affect your ability to speak or communicate. That's why wearing a Medic Alert emblem is especially important if you have a hidden medical condition such as an allergy to penicillin, or diabetes, hypertension, or a heart problem, for example. The emblem contains a special ID number, a 24-hour phone number, and your medical condition engraved on the reverse side. In an emergency, Medic Alert provides identification and vital information within seconds. A wallet card is sent to you each year to provide current medical information. Wearing a Medic Alert emblem can help ensure you swift and accurate treatment in a medical emergency. Remember, Medic Alert speaks for you when you can't. Take good care of yourself.
For information, write Medic Alert, Turlock, California, 95381. This message was brought to you as a public service by this station.
There you go. And that was part two of Toy Death.
The great Lauren Green, who started off as a CBC radio newsman, found his way down to California and ended up one of his last things. I think he was even after definitely after Battlestar, where he hosted the Monday night's wheel of the Mutual Sears and Mutual Radio Theater as he hosted Westerns. So,
oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then
what goes around comes around. And
Navoy
radio
had
always
another
keeps
night.
Coming around.
Somebody else had a night.
Yeah. Tuesday night was Andy Griffith and Comedy Night. And Wednesday was Mystery Night with Miss Vincent Price. Then it had Love and Life with Cicely Tyson. There you go. Then it started off as the Adventure Night on Friday. You start off with Richard Widmark, who actually did a lot of radio, Suspense and Inner Sanctums back in the old radio days. And then he passed away, was filled in for a short time by Howard Duff, and then was filled in for the rest of the show by Leonard Nimoy for Adventure Night. So,
Yep. Nice.
Yeah, we got more of that kind of radio coming your way.
Woo!
Nice. Mr. Lauren Green was also known as the Voice of Canada and the Voice of Doom.
And the way I measure dog ears.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, he's always there feeding his dogs Alpo and telling us how old that dog wasn't. So many. My old weirdness days, I used to say, "Hey, yeah, that's 107 Lauren Green years," you know.
God, I forgot about those Alpo commercials. It's been a long
time.
Oh my goodness. That's the beauty of this show. It's a time machine. It's a time machine, folks.
Yep.
Thanks for riding
is.
With us. We're gonna ride our way back. And are we gonna do the interview after our presentation?
Yeah, we can do the interview after. We can do it.
Yeah. So let's move along with part three and the conclusion of Toy Death from CBS Radio Mystery Theater.
It is said that once a Westerner has come into contact with the East, his eyes are opened. His values warp, and he accepts phenomena his own culture would reject. As if the magnetic needle of one's beliefs inexplicably changed direction from pointing north to pointing east. This may explain why, 1 week later, Mrs. Fowler decided not to leave the employment of Captain Hugh Trevelyan.
Mrs. Fowler, I'm glad you're not going to carry out your threat and abandon ship.
I couldn't. That's what it came down to. I'd be punishing Miss Isabella by leaving her. Something's wrong. Fat lot of good her father is. He's always running off somewhere on business. He doesn't seem to care about her.
Oh, yes, he does. But he's helpless.
Oh, I don't know. He didn't impress me as a caring husband either.
Mrs. Fowler, should you be telling me all this?
Yes, I should. That man... You wouldn't think he'd buried Mrs. Trevelyan right here in our churchyard after that terrible sickness when nobody could do anything for her.
So the Trevelyans returned from India 2 years ago?
Yes, but she was ill long before that in Delhi. The captain brought the family back to England and she just wasted away for 6 months before she died.
Oh, I see. There's another reason I'm glad you didn't leave. Isabella and I... Well... We were getting along famously. I thought she trusted me. But since the night of the thunderstorm...
When I saw that doll walk across the bedroom floor?
Yes. Since that night, she's closed up completely. I've tried to draw her out. She looks at me, but she doesn't really see me. Her mind is somewhere else.
The devil has entered that girl. She's under a spell.
Mrs. Fowler, let us, you and I, try to get to the bottom of this once and for all tonight. As soon as the captain has retired for the night, say half an hour later, we'll meet in the hall outside the guest room. From there, it's just a few steps to Isabella's.
I'm afraid we can't go into her room yet. She's still awake. See the light under her door. She's lit the lamp by her bedside.
It's very late. Couldn't she have gone to sleep and left it burning?
I hear something. Is she talking?
Where do you want me to go? Leave here. Why? Why, isn't it safe?
Who's she talking to? Is there someone in there with her?
What do you mean it's dangerous? The dog. Yes, I remember the dog. Oh, it ties in my arms so terribly. Its eyes staring at me so.
Mrs. Fowler, someone's coming down the hall.
It's the captain.
Oh, we look stupid standing here. What do we say to him?
Open her door. We'll get inside until he passes.
It's locked.
Mrs. Fowler, Tony, may I ask what you two are doing here in the middle of the night? Parker, did I see you trying to open Isabella's door?
Well, I,
You're as white as a ghost.
A ghost, he says.
Captain Trevelyan, do you hear anything, any unusual sounds coming from Isabella's room?
I do, yes. What is it? There's the wind in the chimney, perhaps. Mrs. Fowler, why haven't the chimney sweeps taken care of it?
I don't think it's that, sir.
Well, then what is it?
It's a little hard to explain.
Yes, well, explain it then in the morning.
I don't know that it's something that can wait until morning, sir.
We think it's that doll, sir. It's alive, and it's talking.
Mrs. Fowler, are you repeating that nonsense you told me last week when you gave your notice? And you, Parker, are you in cahoots with this poor woman? It's an unhealthy game you're playing, and I'd like you to postpone any conversation until morning. Then perhaps in the clear light of day, the both of you will have come to your senses. Good night.
Just heard his bedroom door shut upstairs.
Why'd she have to lock her door?
You can get in through the garden. The French doors.
Good idea. I can see her quite clearly now through the doors to the garden.
She's lying on her bed and her eyes are closed. I can see her lips move.
She's talking in her sleep.
But I don't see the doll.
Miss Fowler, we must decide. Shall we look or shall we act? I'll open the French doors.
There it is. Awful thing. Demon.
It's crawling away.
I'll get it. I'll break you to pieces and throw you in the dustbin.
Yeah, open the door and let it out.
Don't you dare come here, you. My God, you haven't died. Captain Trevelyan. There was life in it. I kicked it, and it kept crawling after me.
Is this so, Tony?
Word for word. Both of us could not have been mesmerized into seeing the identical happening at the same time. But the worst part, of course, is Isabella's strange involvement with this new doll of hers.
Have I seen it?
I doubt it. It's not easily forgotten. By day, she cuddles it like a baby, and at night, we heard her talking to it.
In her sleep, and it answers in a language of its own, like music, like little chimes.
Last night, before you came downstairs, we could hear what she was saying. asking if she was in danger, remembering a dog that died in her arms. There was something about that dog.
The dog died. The dog. Yes, sir, you did the right thing to tell me. I've been half expecting something like this. It was bound to find me, sooner or later. They never give up.
Captain Trevelyan, I think tonight, when Isabel is asleep, you should witness this yourself.
Mrs. Fowler, I think you said someone sent this doll to her.
It was delivered. Miss Isabella answered the door, and a man said, "Is this the house of Captain Hugh Trevelyan?" and gave it to her.
You did say that was the man who had been hanging about the house from early morning.
Yes, remember, Captain? I told you I'd seen a man with a turban moving about in the garden one morning.
You never said he wore a turban. Was he dark?
Miss Isabella said so, and very handsome.
Captain, whatever it is, I think you've placed your daughter's life in great danger.
Tonight, I shall put a stop to that.
Captain, have you any idea why that doll was brought to this house?
Yes, I do. It was intended for me.
I think you were wise, Captain, to tell Mrs. Fowler not to accompany us tonight.
Was that 2 o'clock that just struck?
Yes, it was.
Isabella must be asleep by now. Let's open her door.
Ah, she's locked it.
Would I have a key? That's it. Now, come inside. Close the door behind you. Where is this doll?
Look at the foot of her bed.
That? It has no arms. It's all broken. Let me see. The way the little head is bent so crookedly, I suppose that is a head. All I see is an open red mouth. You say Isabella likes this?
Yes. It's rather mangled now because Mrs. Fowler tried to destroy it.
That girl sleeps like an angel. Look at her.
It's moving.
I must get it away from Isabella.
Careful how you handle it.
It's squirming like it's real.
Who is it?
It's all right, child. It's all right. I'm just taking this doll away. My throat! It's at my throat!
He's faint.
What happened? I saw something jump down from his neck.
Is there water in this pitcher?
Yes.
Here. Now, you take this wet cloth. See if you can bring him round.
But, Father. Father, wake up. Wake up, Father.
He went for that doll, and it leaped up at his throat. And the captain just keeled over. Isabella, don't move. Don't move. He's starting to crawl across the floor.
Oh! What is it?
You don't know it? Don't you recognize it?
That thing, where did it come from? Oh, I can't bear to look at it. Father, please, wake up.
It's all right. It's all right. I'm all right now.
Father, your eyes are open. Look. Look, there's this thing in my room. It's dragging itself to the French doors. Look at it. It's like a giant beetle.
She doesn't remember it, sir. Wait, it's saying something.
Tony, help me get my father off the floor.
Wait. Bullslager. I don't need any help.
Look, the French doors. They're opening.
What did you see, Tony?
A hand reached in and took the thing from the floor.
Father. Father, are you all right?
Isabella, I'm sorry for everything. All the distress I've caused you. I'm sorry your mother is dead. I really loved her so much. She didn't understand love. Now, you get yourself back to bed. I think you'll sleep better now.
I know you loved Mother.
I always knew that.
Good night, my child.
Tomorrow I'm going to ask Mrs. Fowler to help me take down all these dolls and give them to the children in the hospital. Good night, you two. Good night, Father. I love you.
Good morning, Tony. No dictation now. Something else. That little broken doll figure last night said two words. Did you hear them?
Yes, I did, but I couldn't tell what they were.
Well, it was Hindustani. Bhusalaga. That means revenge.
That doll said revenge?
A man doesn't spend enough time with his wife in a military job. Sometimes, if she's very far from home, she gets lonely, restless. She may be attracted to a man who has time for her. A native. The husband bred by army life is of violent nature. Instead of facing the native who has stolen his wife's love, he may turn upon the faithless woman, no matter how much he loves her. In some countries, the venom of a cobra is effective. It kills slowly, lingeringly, and leaves no trace.
So at last the wife dies. But what of her lover, who lives?
Perhaps he revenges himself upon the husband, using a fetish known only to a few, and from the sharp touch of which there is no escape.
Are you sure, Captain, there is no antidote? Let me get you to the hospital right now.
It's too late, Tony. In this desk drawer is a packet of letters and a diary. They tell everything the memoirs left out. Write it for me, will you? As for Isabella, I think she likes you. Take care of her.
Within minutes, Captain Hugh Trevelyan was dead. They were never able to define the exact cause, and so, written upon the coroner's final certificate was failure of the heart, which indeed, in many ways, is what killed him. I shall return shortly.
This is Ken Howard. If you're over 18 and already out of school, I have a personal question for you. Can you read as well as you would like to? I don't mean just traffic signs and sports programs. I'm talking about books, magazines, and newspapers, and the labels on medicine and food packages. If you don't read well enough to understand these, you can get help at your library. Many libraries offer assistance for people who didn't learn to read very well in school. If they don't have the programs themselves, librarians can often recommend a local tutor, self-help books, or even televised instruction that includes other subjects as well as reading. 25 million Americans have trouble reading, and some of them don't even realize it, or they're too embarrassed to ask for help. If you are one of them, don't waste your mind any longer. The libraries in your area are waiting to help you. You just walk right in and ask for books on any subject that interests you, whether it's basketball, basket weaving, or the mystery of the Baskervilles. You name it, the library has it. They've got your number. Now you get theirs and give them a call.
A public service message of the American Library Association.
Weekdays on PBS television. Don't miss your favorite daytime shows. First, it's stories of people facing each day as it comes on Search for Tomorrow, followed by the drama of those trying to find their way on The Guiding Light. Then, join Ann and the gang for their wacky view of life.
Your party's fine. You and Schneider give me a pain somewhere else.
One day at a time, that's Search for Tomorrow, The Guiding Light, and One Day at a Time, weekdays on CBS television.
I understand you're trying to quit smoking. Is that... I see. A little cranky, huh? Yeah, well, just think how much better you're going to feel. Now, look, maybe if you were to try the American Lung Association's Freedom from Smoking program, that might help, you suppose? Well, in the meantime, have a nice day.
If you want to kick the habit but need help, contact your local American Lung Association for information on their Freedom from Smoking program. As always, it's a matter of life and breath.
I
cudgel our brains, we cannot find a logical explanation for what you have heard. Did the doll actually kill the captain? Or did the captain die of fright? Were all those who saw the doll undergoing mass mesmerism? Who was the man in the turban? An avenging Indian? We confess to no explanations. All we can assure you is that it did happen. Our cast included Christopher Tabori, Patricia Elliott, Marion Seldes, and Court Benson. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. This is E.G. Marshall, inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time,
macabre.
Pleasant dreams.
Macabre.
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 Oh, sorry. Macabre.
Macabre. Hey, if E.G. Marshall wouldn't lead us astray, he would not lead us astray. Much like learning a lesson from our stories, Dale, it would not lead us astray.
No, we would never lead you astray. We would only bring you the very finest things to know. Eerie House Radio proudly presents a garrulous moral of the story.
With apologies to Gar, dolls may be dangerous, but not as dangerous as stepping on Legos left on the living room floor without shoes on. But how they put shoes on Legos, I'll never figure out. There you go.
Now that wasn't so bad, was it?
It was disgusting.
It was.
Boy.
Yep.
And so, Gareth, if you're putting on the makeup there, getting ready for your show tonight, which is taped, but I still think he puts his makeup on when he does it. Here's something for you.
Eeny, meeny, chili beanie, the spirits are about to speak.
Yep.
Smear that makeup all over.
All over the place. And now it is time to take my well-used time to go to New Orleans to interview the Voodoo Queen. For Eerie House Radio, I'm Dave Binkley, and I'm here in New Orleans, the Big Easy, and I'm here with the Voodoo Queen, Marie Laval. Is this a good time to interview you?
It's not ordinary.
Can you tell me just when you were born?
When the only people that existed were troglodytes.
Then why, after all these years, are you still a Voodoo Queen? Why do you turn the dead into zombies?
I want it that way.
Is that the only reason? What do you promise them when you are about to turn them into zombies? And what are the magic words you say?
Don't be so scared of changing and rearranging yourself.
I see that zombies are over there dancing. Why is that?
Some dance to remember, some dance to forget.
Of course.
Perhaps I can speak to a few of the zombies. Pardon me, Mr. Dead Guy. What did you say to her before she made you undead?
She won't have a second try. Open up your heart as well as your eyes.
You, with the ear falling off. How did she turn you into a zombie?
Hey, my brother,
and old moldy one. How do you feel about becoming a zombie? Well, Queen Laval, these seem to be like regular guys. Maybe I should turn them back into living men.
You might as well be walking on the sun. You might as well be walking on the sun.
This is Dave Binkley from New Orleans, returning you to Erie House Radio.
You might as well be walking on the sun.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Bravo. Yay.
Bravo. Bravo.
Bravo.
I didn't have too much time there, so that's all the time, all the questions I had. Oh,
well, yeah. She had to go, though. She has stuff to do.
Yeah. More dead to reclaim. More dead to reclaim, yeah.
Absolutely. It's a busy life.
And laundry. There's always laundry.
Laundry?
I think that it was very kind of her to grant you an interview.
Yes. It was.
She's quite the gal.
She gave me this needle to, but I didn't touch it, so, you know. Gotta be careful of that stuff.
CW, have you got the opportunity to see any of the American Horror Stories?
I have only seen very few of them.
Oh, there's some good ones. I forget which season. I think it's Coven, where they have a Marie Laveau character and another, like, a zombie king kind of guy. Oh, man. It's cool.
I need to see that.
Yes,
just zero in on a few episodes in there and do a little binge watching when I have the opportunity.
If you get the chance, you will not forget, you will not regret it.
Cool.
Quite cool.
Well, thanks again, Dave, for that Erie House exclusive with Marie Laveau. Yeah.
Yeah, so, Marie.
We still have some time left.
We do got some time left. Let's where shall we go next? How about a quick wheel? Isn't there a we got
sure. CW, you're our wheel queen. You always do such a good job of spinning.
Plus we're old.
One has to be
born
with the touch. Just born with the magical touch. So with all due respect to Madame Laveau, I'm putting my magical fingers on the spin to win.
Around she goes, and where she stops, nobody knows.
We've got nothing. Got nothing in common, but nothing in common. Whatever you've heard,
you're on, Dad. I'll go.
Now if you mean talent, then your reasoning's fine.
I don't mean money.
Watch it.
'Cause that's just where you shine.
On the fairway, I swing such a rare way.
Into my pocket, you keep slashing the fairway from under the ball.
Let's part, be real smart, and not start with this mishmash. 'Cause outside of thinking that you're singing in tune,
and outside of thinking you're this year's Pat Boone,
Berlin Huskies, my boy, we've got nothing in common at all. We've got nothing, got nothing in common, but nothing in common. We're sorry to state
the roads we travel,
the large laughs with L'Amour.
Yes, those days are over.
Oh, now, wait a minute, Dad. Don't be so sure.
That's right. TV's won 'em.
They got 'em.
They're gonna rerun 'em.
Ouch.
We look like the Bobbsey twins.
I'm gonna shun 'em.
Mm-hmm.
because they'll be on too late.
Yeah, you'll have your Shaw and your Ovaltine by then.
The road picks were such kicks, but let's nix any encores. Because outside of still looking youthful and cute, and outside of stealing all that Paramount loot,
we grabbed a bundle
of bandits.
We got nothing in common at all. Simply stated, the tones we've created,
a wild moose just mated, could never approach.
He'd get drummed out of the herd. Ho hum, that's it chum, we have come to the wind-up.
Cause outside of having a friendship that's fast,
and with Cleveland and Pittsburgh we'll both finish last.
Not again.
We've got nothing in common at all, at all, at all. We've got nothing in common.
Say, Dad, you want to go for the big finish? You want to grab the high one?
Tony Bennett hasn't got a spy around here, has he?
Oh, John Charles Thomas will fuss a little, but let's go, huh?
Let's nick it.
Get my oxygen and we'll go.
At all.
Bud Light presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today we salute you, Mr. Driving Range Ball Picker-Upper.
Mr. Driving Range Ball Picker-Upper.
For our pure enjoyment, you bravely throw yourself directly in the path of adversity, and you do it on a tractor.
Riding high.
Oh, the rules call for friendly fire, but you know we're all gunning for you.
Gunning for you.
Let her rip, you say, because someone's gonna hit a little dribbler, and they're gonna try and chase it down. And when they do, you'll be there.
You'll be there.
So crack open an ice-cold Bud Light, range guy, because in this world of namby-pambies, you're the one with all the balls. Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Well, Gracie, I know that you got a letter from home. Anything newsy?
They said they had a family musical at our house last Sunday night, like we used to have, and they missed me.
You had musicals at your house?
Oh, yes. Every Sunday we'd gather around in the parlor. We had our own orchestra.
Your family must have loved music.
Oh, we certainly did. That was all we ever played.
Well, it sounds like the right choice.
Oh, yes. It was a wonderful sight when we all got together to give a concert. Every week, my cousin Louise would sit down with her new cello.
New cello every week?
Well, she kept breaking them.
Why did she do that?
She was not beat. She couldn't help it.
Well, at least she kept the cello people in business.
Mm-hmm, she certainly did. And next to her would be my Aunt Clara in her football helmet, playing her saxophone. Oh, she played beautifully.
Why would she wear a football helmet?
Well, she had to, or she would have gotten killed. You see, she always sat right in front of Uncle Harvey, who played a slide trombone.
Why didn't she move?
Oh, she couldn't. He always had his music pinned on her back.
I'm sorry I missed those Sunday nights. They sound exciting.
Oh, they were. But Uncle Harvey always played an extra note, and we finally found out what it was.
What was it?
Aunt Clara had a mole on her back.
Yeah, well, it's a good thing she didn't have freckles. What instrument did you play?
Well, Pearl, Bessie, Hazel, and I would sit there and play the piano.
All of you at the same time? How'd you do that?
We had a very long bench.
I mean, how did you work it?
Oh, well, Pearl would play the white keys, and Bessie would play the black keys, and Hazel would turn the pages, and I held a glass of water.
You held a glass of water?
To keep Hazel's finger wet.
So she could turn the pages? How long did it take you to learn to play this water glass?
Oh, please, George, that wasn't my instrument. I played the tuba.
Oh.
And my cousin Barney had to help me. See, we were both very young, and neither of us had enough wind to blow it alone.
So?
So, while I blew in one end, Barney would put his head inside the other end and inhale.
Say goodnight.
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 there you go with Burns and Allen, Bud Light commercial, and Hope and Crosby.
Hope and Crosby.
Ah, yes.
Another classic show was just that. So, Dale.
Yes.
What's happening to Erie House next week?
I don't know, nothing. Because we're going on vacation. That's right. It's bad vacation time at Erie House. Some really bad vacations, man. We're talking about a vacation from murder, an Oregon vacation with death, and the last resort. That's Mystery House, Lights Out, and Crisis. Then that's just Friday. On Saturday, there's still a little vacation time left for Theater 5 and Rogue's Gallery. That's next weekend. And tonight, after we're done, don't forget, Huddle Hutter, Stubbing Garlicle on their Twitches. It's a never-before-seen rerun. Go figure.
That's right, because the first time it was seen, it wasn't a... That's because the first time it was seen, it wasn't a rerun. This time it is a rerun. Therefore, it's never-before-seen rerun.
Now, see, when you say it, it makes sense. I don't know. Somehow, I connected with that. Makes my head hurt a little bit, but I connected with that. And in addition, oh, folks, we got some great stuff coming up, not just next weekend, but weekends ahead. We're going to get in your face. We're going to do some Lizzie Borden. Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. That'll kick off August with Lizzie Borden. Then, Dan Freeberg, he's got a birthday coming up, as well as Ray Bradbury. Yeah, we're going to have a whole bunch of Bradbury in August. So you got some good stuff to look forward to here on Erie House Radio.
Yep, yep. So much fun coming. It's hard to believe that we can all give you this great entertainment for no cost to you.
Yeah.
Except your sanity.
Yeah. Well.
For the nominal fee of $0 and 0 cents.
And worth every penny, I might add. You're getting your money's worth. You're getting your exact money's worth. We did the math on the Garculator.
Yeah. You got to be careful of that. Because that adds in inflation, too, so you really got to be careful that Garculator. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's very
good. Garculator is too only much allowed in so many states, I think. I don't know.
Right. Oh, well, it's true. It's not accepted in all states. Yeah.
No. Especially in public. You don't want to Garculate in public. That's
No.
Probably a bit much.
Yes, it did.
What was that? I missed that.
Oh, just a bit.
Okay.
What a thing, Fox Bane and good old Bob for dropping by. Chris, Dan, a few others I know have been listening in. Thank you so much. As many others have, you might want to go back to last week and check out the show that we did, the Rod Serling Show, with guest Mark Dwidziak. He's got a lot of cool stuff coming out, including his Edgar Allan Poe, I think, a book he's doing right now.
Yep, I think he's finishing this up, and he'll be in New York for that Rod Serling Festival in Rod's home of Binghamton, New York.
Wow.
Binghamton, is that right? Is that right, folks? Binghamton? Anyway.
Sounds good.
I don't know how close that is to where Fogs is.
I don't know, but I have not scrolled in the right place. This ending is going to be slapdash, kids. So good night, and thanks for listening to Erie House Radio. Bye. Just bye.
Bye.
The castle lights are growing dim. There's no one left but me and him.
And her.
When next we meet in Frankenstone.
Don't come alone. Hush.
Don't come alone. Can you dig it?
What is that? Like that test thing they had with Michael Jackson and Vincent Price?
Yeah. I
think that's where he added, "Can you dig it?"
Yep.
And there's a whole nother.
I think you just let him
there.
Do whatever he wanted, and nobody's going to tell Vincent Price he can't do something.
True. Nor should you.
Nor should you.
Well, especially at that Absolutely. Point of his career, the guy was so experienced in, like, everything.
Yeah.
The only thing he didn't really do is direct and produce. And I don't think he cared to, or he would have.
No. No. And that's what a lot of them turn to, is directing and producing, because they can do that longer, and there's more opportunity for them to do that than there is
to
be in front of the camera a lot of times. But
yeah.
He always had the opportunity.
He enjoyed his art collecting and cooking. He was quite the gourmand.
Yes. Yep. I think it was his father or grandfather created the recipe for tartar sauce. If I'm not mistaken.
He did have some money in his family as to how much he inherited when the time came. I don't know. I think possibly the Great Depression may have cleaned the family's financial clock, but...
Didn't he have an interest, or the family had an interest in confection, like candy making, maybe?
Yeah, they did do a candy making thing. I would have to look that up to see what happened to it. But quite frankly, he was always very miserly with his money, but careful with it.
Yeah, I don't think he was one to do the Hollywood excesses.
No.
I mean, it doesn't seem like he ever got tied up with any kind of drugs. He might have smoked cigarettes. Well, oh, wow. And back then,
he was a huge smoker.
Yeah. I mean, everybody did back then, I guess, or a lot of folks did. It wasn't uncommon like it is now, but... But that, you know, you didn't hear about him getting in trouble with drinking or, you know, car accidents or none of that crazy stuff. He's a clean...
And I didn't realize that he actually had a stint in Orson Welles' Mercury Theater.
Really?
That'd
have to be early in his career.
Yeah, and essentially the Mercury Theater was a troupe that Orson Welles put together for actors who really couldn't get work, and by banding together like that, they were able to get government funding from WPA to put on performances. Much like what Woody Guthrie got for creating songs, that was money from WPA when he wrote "This Land Is Your Land" and many other songs like that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's interesting.
But Orson Welles banded them together and helped them get some paying acting gigs by banding together like they did.
Sweet.
Nice, and you were quite correct.
Happened to have to go for a little ride in the car today, and so I slapped in one of my discs that I just had a whole bunch of radio shows on, and well, what comes up is The Hitchhiker.
Oh, yes.
So that was a good one to enjoy on my little... It's really to go anywhere out here. If you're not right in town, you gotta go a ways.
Yeah.
To get different
things. Speaking of Rod Serling, you're quite correct. It is Binghamton, New York. It is on the 12th of August, Sterling Fest.
Ooh. That would be fun.
Yeah,
I wouldn't mind going to a Sterling Fest.
Yeah, it's like a $30. It's So I'm not sure if that's like a, they have a lot of symposiums and stuff. So I'm not sure if that's like a Gilardi Fest, Dale, where they have a bunch of vendors and stuff as well.
Possibly.
But they certainly have some interesting people if you can get to them. That it would be cool to go and see if we could sneak in a few interviews here and there, you know. Maybe next year, you know.
Maybe next year. I'm still trying to make Monster Bash. I so want to make Monster Bash in Pennsylvania.
I thought that was in Pittsburgh, outside Pittsburgh.
That's Pennsylvania.
Oh, Pennsylvania. I'm sorry.
Pennsylvania.
I'm sorry. I
Are you familiar with that venue, CW?
What was it now?
Monster Bash.
I've heard you mention it.
Yeah, it's more geared to the retro monsters. You know what I mean? Like, we have another one called Cinema Wasteland here, but it's more, that's like slasher gore fest stuff, you know, for the most part. And the party crowd hangs around there, where it's far more sedate at Monster Bash, which I prefer that environment.
Yeah.
Family friendly and more about the universal monsters and the older stuff. Not that they don't get into some of the newer stuff, but it's like what we call monster kids stuff.
Yeah, so that Binghamton, and of course on the website, they do have at one of the guests, Mark, et cetera, last name.
Dewitziak, yes.
Dewitziak, thank you. And, of course, Ann Serling is going to be there.
Ann Serling, yes. Boy, I'd love to get her on.
That'd
be worth a trip up there just to go there and talk to her and talk her into coming on the podcast.
Yeah, just to get a couple of words from her would be outstanding. It's a 3-day thing, August 12th, 13th, and 14th.
Yeah. Well, maybe next year.
I hope so. It looks like it's been going on for a while. We even have a cocktail gathering. Cocktails from the Zone to kick off the weekend.
Yeah, I think the guy that wrote the Twilight Zone Companion, he's one of the speakers as well, so...
Oh, yes, Mark Vickery.
Yes, I think that's it, something like that, yeah.
Yes, he is due to be there as well.
Yeah. But yeah, so maybe next year. Maybe next year. We shall see what we shall see.
Indeed. With that, gentlemen,
I must
be away.
Okay. All right, then you know what you have to do to be able to escape the dungeon here.
Yes, no keys, no passageways, just the magical words of Mr. Durante. Would you tickle the ivories for us, please?
Good night, good night, good night. It's time to say good night. What for this sake but good night? We've had a few laughs, and it's time for toodaloo. Arrivo, up we the thing, and ink-a-dink-a-doo. Good night. Good night. Good night, folks. And good night, Mrs. Calabash, wherever.